Radio Prague News.
Social Democrat MPs want conditions changed on a historic $1 billion army tender. A decade on, the state has finally completed its analysis of the Chesky Doom financing scandal in Moscow. And the actress Sharon Stone is honoured as this year's Kalevivaara International Film Festival gets underway. Several Social Democrat deputies serving on Parliament's Defence Committee are pushing for the Czech Army's $1 billion tender for the purchase of armoured personnel carriers, now underway, to be revised. The tender, agreed by the Cabinet in April, is the largest in the Army's history. Several Social Democrat MPs are among those calling for Czech participation in any contract to be 40% or higher, up from the original 25%. Formal bids to supply the army with some 230 NATO standard armoured personnel carriers are now due at the Ministry of Defence by mid-July. But industry analysts say that the deadline will need to be extended by a month or so if the ruling Social Democrats succeed in changing the tender's conditions. A comprehensive economic analysis of the questionable leasing of a Czech state-owned property in Moscow a decade ago has finally been completed. State attorney Zbigniew Podlipny said the results show that the Chesky Doom, or Czech house in Russia, had been rented to a private Czech company for less than two-thirds of the market rate at the time. Three foreign ministry officials are now being prosecuted in connection to the Chesky Doom case and face 5 to 12 years in prison. The most senior of the three, former Foreign Ministry General Secretary Karol Serba, is already serving an 8-year prison sentence for contracting the murder of the Mladá Fronta Dnes journalist who first exposed the dubious contract. Two separate accidents along the main highway from the northern Bohemian city of Liberec to the Czech capital Prague tied up traffic for hours on Saturday. Several people received minor injuries in both accidents, which together involved a dozen cars. The American actress Sharon Stone was among the Hollywood stars in attendance on Friday night for the celebrations ahead of the official opening of the Kalevivaara International Film Festival. The festival, which takes place in the famous Bohemian spa town, is now in its 40th year. Miss Stone received the festival's Crystal Globe Award for her contribution to world cinema. Also honoured on Friday was the Czech director Jiří Krajíček, aged 78, who was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award. Other big-name celebrities invited to Kalevivaara this year include the actor Robert Redford and Ingmar Bergman's favourite actress Liv Ullmann, now a director in her own right. Finally, the weather. Light cloud cover is in the forecast for the next couple of days, with daytime highs remaining in the upper 20s. I'm Peter Smith.
You're tuned to Radio Prague with me, David Vaughan, taking you through today's programme. In a few minutes, we'll be returning, for the second week running, to a subject beloved of the Czech nation, when in ABC of Czech, we're introduced to some more Czech expressions connected with beer. After that, we'll be meeting some of the fascinating people who won the Gratias Agiat Awards this year for their contribution to the Czech Republic from abroad. But first of all, over to Daniela Lazarová, and among other things, she'll be telling us about gnats and yetis in this week's magazine.
Last weekend, the town of Poděbrady celebrated the 100th anniversary of the discovery of the first mineral spring, which marked the beginning of the town's fame as a curative spa resort. The celebrations transported visitors back to the beginning of the 20th century, when the Czech lands were still part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. There were period costumes, street hawkers, period photographers taking hazy black and white snapshots of people as souvenirs, music box street players and cyclists on penny farthings. And, of course, people could take the waters to test the quality of the spring, which made the town famous for its healing powers. Although the Czech Republic is not expected to join the Eurozone before the end of the decade, Czechs have already made a series of unofficial proposals for Czech euro coins. The 1 and 2 euro coins show the old town square. The 5 euro coin is stamped with the historic town of Telč, an architectural jewel that is on the UNESCO list of cultural monuments. And the 50 euro coin depicts Ploskovice Chateau. A collection of these mock euro coins is available, although they're merely a collector's item. The price of one set is 29 euro or 885 Czech crowns. The town of Litovel in the eastern part of the Czech Republic is on Nat alert. The surrounding ponds and marshland provide ideal conditions for gnat breeding, and once in every few years the situation gets totally out of control. When that happens, armies of bloodthirsty gnats descend on anything that moves. This year looks like one of the bad years. The warm weather has produced millions of gnats, and the locals say that even a trip to their neighbours is fraught with danger. You get bitten all over within seconds, and you spend all night scratching the bites, one of the locals says. The local hygiene officer confirms this. He says he has monitored 20 white gnat bites per minute. Think what a 10-minute walk downtown would leave you with. A pest control team has been spraying the vicinity, and temporarily it helps. Until the gnats strike again, the town of Litovel remembers a calamity situation in 1997 when things were much worse. The sky was black with gnats, and there was no question of leaving the house. Family from the town of Lukavce lost their family home within a matter of seconds. They were already up and about one early morning in May when a truck rammed through their wall and came to a stop in the middle of their kitchen. Luckily, no one was injured. "I couldn't believe my eyes," the owner said. "Trucks aren't even allowed to pass through our village. The road isn't made for it." The house, which had been built in 1957, was totally demolished and will have to be torn down. The entire family has been moved to a hotel. Moreover, this happened just when they'd finally put their house in order following a flood that ruined most of their possessions. Still, the family is counting its blessings. It would have been much worse if we'd all been sitting down to breakfast, they say. Everyone's planning on coming to Slavkov in the northeast of the Czech Republic. 6 months ahead of bicentennial commemorations marking Napoleon's famous victory at Austerlitz, most of the region's hotels are fully booked for the occasion. The reason everyone wants to be there is to see a bit of history in action. Around 3,000 people dressed in the respective soldiers' uniforms and carrying real weapons are expected to recreate the Battle of the Three Emperors, where Napoleon scored his famous victory over the Austrian and Russian armies on December the 2nd of 1805 by tricking the Emperor's forces into thinking that his army was smaller than it actually was. The battle cost the lives of around 40,000 people. This time round, the soldiers will be using blanks, so everyone should come home safe and sound. Recreations of historic battles are becoming extremely popular in the Czech Republic. For instance, the town of Friedland has become famous for its summer Wallenstein celebrations, which take place once in 2 years at the end of May and attract people from Germany, Poland, and even Scotland. They come to enact the battles of Albrecht Wallenstein, who was possibly the most famous general of the 30 Years' War. Some 20,000 visitors attend these celebrations every time, and organizers have plenty to offer besides the reenactment of battles in period costumes. There are fencing contests, fashion shows of period costumes, puppet theater performances, jesters, an arts and crafts fair, dancing, and a torch procession and fireworks in the evenings. The project is now supported by EU funds. An opinion poll just out suggests that middle-aged Czechs love sex. The survey indicates that two-thirds of respondents over 40 have sex three times a week, and that 70% of those polled are very happy with their sex life. The company which commissioned the poll, Viagra Producers, is not very happy with the result. However, the agency which conducted the poll says there's one small inconsistency. It polled couples, and the sex statistics suggest that there is plenty of extramarital sex going on both sides. The statistics, of course, remain confidential. The Czech carmaker Škoda plans to launch serial production of a new sports utility vehicle. The new Yeti model, which was first unveiled at the Geneva Motor Show in March, evoked plenty of interest. The reaction was too good not to produce it, the company's chairman told reporters. The Yeti will be geared towards young people for use in their free time. It is expected to appear on the market in 2008 at the earliest. And if you're curious to see what it looks like, check out Radio Prague's webpage.
Was, of course, Magazine with Daniela Lazarova. And now for the second part of Pavla Horáková's ABC of Czech, looking at beer, in celebration of the Radio Prague Czech Beer Competition, which ended last week.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech. Last week we looked at some vocabulary to do with beer, the most typical Czech beverage, and today we'll look at beer in Czech idioms and sayings. For that I'm joined in the studio by
Zuzana Durčáková.
A beloved child has many names, as they say in Northern Europe. It is certainly true about beer in the Czech language. Czechs can be quite affectionate when talking about what the common man calls
tekutý chléb,
or liquid bread, and exporters
tekuté zlato,
liquid gold. One affectionate version of the word
pivo
is
pivečko,
or little beer, but mind you, it has nothing to do with the size of the glass. And the list goes on.
Zrzavá voda,
or rusty water, is not often heard these days, but you will often come across it in literature. Then there is
bahno,
or mud. Many people refer to a glass of beer as
jedno,
or one. So they would often say
pojď na jedno,
meaning let's go and have a beer. Good beer has to have what is called
říz.
The word is related to the Czech verb to cut, and it means something like strength, kick, or strong flavor. A draft beer also has to have
dobrou míru.
It has to have the right measure. The glass has to be full. But in a typical Czech pub, that depends on whether the bartender
výčepní
likes you or not. There is a traditional rhyming proverb.
Kde se pivo vaří, tam se dobře daří.
or where beer is brewed, life is good. Beer lovers,
pivaři,
are easy to spot in a crowd because they have distinguishable beer bellies or
pivní mozol,
literally a beer callus. But they are happy with their bodies, and that's why they coined another rhyming proverb.
Pivo dělá hezká těla.
Beer makes good bodies. And on that note, we will leave you now. And next week, we'll be talking about wine in the Czech language. Till then,
na zdraví.
Cheers.
Thank you very much, Petr Pavla and Zuzka, for that. And don't forget that you can find the winning entries in Radio Prague's beer competition on our website, www.radio.cz. And now we go over to Ian Willoughby with a special programme where he meets some exceptional and fascinating people who have helped to promote the Czech Republic in different places around the world.
The Gratias Agit Awards are presented every year to those who've helped promote the good name of the Czech Republic around the world. Laureates include Czechs and foreigners, individuals and institutions. This year's recipients range from the renowned businessman Tomáš Batia to Lu Jin-san, a Chinese translator of Czech literature. The Gratias Agit Awards are presented by the Foreign Ministry. Minister Cyril Svoboda explains how recipients are chosen.
It's a little complicated, and we are trying to find the representatives of large scale of human activities and representatives of many countries. So it's very difficult because many people are promoting the Czech good name, but that's the choice.
This year, 15 individuals were selected, while there were 4 group awards. One recipient who unfortunately couldn't make it to last week's ceremony at Prague's stately Černín Palace was the poet Viktor Fischl, who's almost 93 and now lives in Israel. But the venue was fitting. Mr. Fischl was a close collaborator of Jan Masaryk, foreign minister in the Czechoslovak government in exile during World War II. Indeed, the reception after the ceremony was held on a terrace, opposite the window from which Jan Masaryk met his death. Several of this year's laureates are getting on in years, such as Jerry Elsner, who was born in 1925 on a farm in Texas. His parents, who are from South Moravia and apparently never learned English, emigrated there in 1904. The state was a popular destination for Czechs moving to the U.S. Mr. Elsner is himself very active in Czech expatriate circles in the Lone Star State.
I do a lot of work in schools, in various clubs. October is Czech Heritage Month, and out of my 254 counties we have, every county judge gets a notice to proclaim Czech Heritage Month, 15 bishops, 34 representatives of Washington. We have a lot of Czech organizations in Texas, and I think of all the United States, we have the most lodges, and just about every week, somewhere there'll be a dance, festival, musica, something about Czechs, okay, somewhere in Texas.
Jerry Elsner is clearly proud to have been awarded the Gratias Agit, and recalls his surprise when he was first notified about it.
It means everything to me. It's something that I still can't believe it, you know. Czech Embassy in Washington called me, and I said, are you making a joke, you know? No. That you're one of the awardees? I said, me? And I started crying. I cried all day. I couldn't believe it, you know. Such like a Nobel Peace Prize, you know, and only 14 in the world. I live on a Czech border, a Mexican border with Mexico. There's multi-Mexicans there, okay? The Mexicans don't know what the Czechs are, you know? It's like, I have to teach them. Jak se máš, koláče, pivo.
I am very grateful. I'm also very proud, personally. I feel it's a nice achievement. I'm still a relatively young man, and it makes it that much more interesting for me.
Ladislav Hornian, a business consultant based in London, is one of the people behind the revival of a school called the English College in Prague.
A number of people in Britain after the revolution, after the Velvet Revolution, decided that after the history of the school, and it had many well-known people going through it before the war, it would be a good idea to start it again. There is more history, because it then opened shortly after the war, and then it was closed again under communism in about 1950. So we thought it was a good idea to start English education and help Czech Republic in that way.
Among the non-Czechs made a Gratias Agit laureate is the remarkable John Reeves, maker of over 50 radio programs about life in communist Czechoslovakia for Canada's CBC.
I used to work for the Canadian equivalent of the Czech radio as a radio drama producer. And in the years leading up to the Prague Spring, the political sentiment in Czechoslovakia was changing a great deal. And in the forefront of that movement were many journalists and many producers and directors in the Rozhlas. And I became very interested in the work that was being done there, and I had many of the important scripts of dramas and documentaries smuggled out, sent to Canada, translated into English and broadcast on the national network.
As well as being a broadcaster, John Reeves, a former long-distance runner, is also a music composer and writer. He set two detective novels in Czechoslovakia. But there's even more.
I also worked on the board of directors of Josef Škvorecký's 68 Publishers, which, as you know, was responsible for keeping good Czech literature alive through all those bad years. And I worked also on the board of the Jan Hus Fund of Canada, which gave moral and financial help to proscribed artists and scholars in Prague and elsewhere in the country. So now, all these years later, I have come back again, and I feel very honored to have my little pieces of work recognized by the Gratias Agit Award. And I feel that although maybe some recognition has come to me, a great deal of the credit really belongs to the people in Prague that I worked with and tried to support.
Among other laureates this year, Viera and Petr Bisek, who've lived in the United States since 1965 and began publishing the Czech newspaper Americké listy in 1990. It's the most read Czech language periodical published outside the Czech Republic. Petr Bisek says there are many people in the U.S. doing their bit to promote the good name of the Czech Republic.
We have several individuals who are making Czech Republic and Slovakia famous. It's not only Miloš Forman and Martina Navrátilová, but there are dozens and dozens of highly educated people in science and arts and culture who live in the United States, and they are respected, well-known and respected, sometimes even better known and respected in the United States than they are in Czech Republic. For example, just came to my mind the composer Karel Husa. He is not too much known here, but he is quite known in the United States, and the people who represent, and we are trying to inform our readers about all these people.
But one man who the readers of Americké listy won't need much introduction to is Tomáš Batia, the Zlín-born businessman whose Bata Shoe Company sells 300 million pairs of shoes a year in almost 70 countries. And before we leave this year's Gratias Agit Awards, let's hear what the great Tomáš Batia has to say about their importance.
Well, it means to me that there is a general feeling of responsibility to people of Czech and Slovak background living in the world, and that they would like to have some continued contact with their old country, and that it's appreciated. It's very important that they should be looking out for people who deserve honors, and to take action. I think this is a good start. They've been doing it now for about 5 years, I think, and I think it's a good, not presumptuous and not opulent start, and that those things are appreciated.
That special report was brought to us by Ian Willoughby. Our time has run out, so take care, and don't forget that on some of today's frequencies you can also hear our weekly magazine looking at what's going on across the region. That's Insight Central Europe. And it's also got its own website, which is www.incentraleurope.com. And In Central Europe is all one word. But for now, from me, David Vaughan, and everyone at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Six heures, 6h27. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.